you on the arm from Glenn.
And John.
Woo! And a very sick Mason. Mason, I'm sorry that you're sick. Oh, I'm not sorry because it's not my fault. Sorry.
There you go, that's better.
But
I feel your pain, my friend.
I am empathetic with your sickness. And we're making him wear a face mask, which is probably worthy of an arms room photo, I think. We should definitely...
This will go up on the Red Wire Gear Instagram page momentarily.
John or Mason wearing his freaking sick mask. All right, we are in the official Wilderness Tactical Studio, brought to you by Wilderness Tactical. Make sure you visit them at wilderness.com. We have our gear scholarship. And you know what? Now that we've opened it up, yeah, we have a few more requests.
Oh, that's nice.
Holy crap. So the scholarship deal from Wilderness Tactical is still open. You know, we wanted to really help out law enforcement agencies and military organizations or youth shooting groups to be able to provide them some equipment. And then I only had a few contact me. And we sent them gear, and we already got some really great photos back. We'll be posting those up soon. But we had like not really that many. I thought we were going to get a lot more requests, and we didn't. So I opened it up to normal people last week, and holy cow. I shouldn't say normal people, but everybody. And, so we got plenty of requests now. So still open if you want some Wilderness gear. We've got a few basic requirements you'll have to meet, but you can email us, info@trainingaz.com. We'll give you all the details. Today's show brought to you by our friends over at Hex Mag. And
just buy some Hex Mag.
Buy Hex Mags. We have the Hex Mag giveaway.
Yeah, buddy. Dude, so we got some pretty good submissions.
Oh, man.
Holy crap. Some really awesome ones, some somewhat creepy ones.
Some confusing ones.
Yeah.
Some people might have been confused about the terms of what we were looking for.
And we got some that were just downright sexy.
Did. We got a super sexy one. As Mason said, so Mason actually had to tie break the winner between John and I. We were in here arguing over who should be the winner between these two people. And Mason had to tie break because he said, and I quote, "It's got to be that guy because his photo is just super sexy."
Yep.
So we'll be posting these up after the show. We'll be posting them up on our Facebook page. All right. So thank you to everybody who sent in. We got some really awesome photos. I'm just going to post them all up on the Arms Room Facebook just so everybody can see kind of who the final contenders were, because there's some pretty cool tactical photos. Everyone who went out and got footy pajamas and wore them and then took a photo, you're awesome. Lots of cool armor, lots of cool tactical stuff. But in the end, there can be only two winners. Our first winner, by a landslide, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And now both of these winners will get identical packages from Hex Mag. But the first winner, which was obvious from the beginning, is Tyler B.
Yeah.
All right.
That one was the border. That was kind of creepy, but super awesome at the same time. Good work, Tyler.
Oh, man.
Takes a lot to get that reaction out of me these days.
Pink footy pajamas, onesie footy pajamas with what appears to be work boots, cowboy boots, something like that, in ACU.
That
kit,
ACU, though.
With a hoodie up.
Yeah.
And his carbine. And what really sank it was that he sent in a video.
Yeah.
And that's definitely getting posted, because the video is him clearing this kind of alleyway, you know, on his backyard, and then kicking in his garage door. Legit. So that definitely sank in the winner there. Second winner.
Oh, do you want me to do this?
Go for it.
So I know you're listening today because you specifically told me you were going to be listening. Congratulations, Mr. Chad. Buddy of ours he is trained with us, but the dude sent in like the most epic photos.
Yeah.
Like
there was no bias there.
No, there is none, but his photos are epic, and you will all see these photos when they post up.
Yes.
Extremely amazing old school, red long John under britches.
Yep.
That multi-cam though.
Total tactical.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Combat boots.
Safety glasses.
And even had Hex Mags in the picture.
Had Hex Mags in the photo.
Definitely bonus points there. But a close, and I mean close,
super
third.
Close. We actually argued over this quite a bit.
We did. A very, very close third who we decided will be getting a consolation prize just because it was such a close third. Kevin G, who had striped
Stripe, like girly stripes. Striped. Like, he may have borrowed those from his wife, it looks like.
Adult onesie with two suppressed ARs, one of which is packing a 60-round Surefire mag, and Nod.
Yeah, on his helmet.
On his helmet. Yeah, very close third. Very, very close third. So he'll be getting a consolation prize. For those of you guys who won, make sure you send us your mailing address so we can get that over to HexMag. You guys can get your package, and we can get Kevin G his package as well. Such a close third, man. So tight between second and third place.
Yeah, buddy.
I love this kind of stuff. This
good
I love
work,
doing
everybody.
This kind of stuff in the show. So thank you guys for sending your photos. Thank you very much. We'll have more of this kind of stuff, as always.
We're going to make you all internet famous now.
And we're going to make you internet famous. So
it was a lot of sexual innuendo this morning. Yes. We're going to send you some packages.
We said
it was very tight.
We did say a lot of packages. All right. So Merry Christmas to everybody.
Yeah. We hope you had a fantastic Christmas. We hope you Christmas had a good weekend. Christmas.
I had a great Christmas.
I'm glad you did. I see that those giant things are no longer in here.
I had to store them in here temporarily.
You should load that one in the back of your truck and bring it up to my house, since I have so much open land.
Yeah.
And my boys have one of those.
And they can rally together.
They can like run around and break things together.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We got the kids some cool stuff. I had a great Christmas. I love Christmas because we just hang out. We build Legos. There's always lots of Legos going on.
Yeah.
We build Legos. We watch movies. Yesterday, we watched all Westerns, so we watched Silverado and Open Range while we built Legos. It was awesome.
We watched, like, How the Grinch Stole Christmas and Charlie Brown
that's
Christmas.
That's Christmas Eve stuff.
I watched A Christmas Story, like, seven times.
That's legit. So you
I haven't seen
now.
That movie in years.
You know it by heart. Man, I had a great Christmas. It was great. My sister-in-law came over and made some amazing breakfast food.
Mm. Oh, yeah. My mom always makes a breakfast casserole.
Yeah.
Eggs and sausage. Oh, so good.
Yeah. She made, like, she called it breakfast lasagna, which I'd never had before, but it's kind of like that. It was just, like, all the breakfast food stacked up.
Ooh.
It's pretty dang good. And biscuits and gravy, because that's tradition, but the heck am I doing? Delicious stuff.
And real bacon.
And always real
bacon. Yeah.
All right, we need your show ideas. We are at the end of the year. Holy shit, this is the last show of the year.
Is it?
Next Monday will be the first.
Right. Yeah. Holy crap, man.
Next Monday is freaking... Oh, no, it's not. I'm sorry, the second. The second is
thank God.
First week of January. I got confused.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
so,
still, last show of the year,
last show
kids.
Of the year. So we've got a calendar coming up the next 3 months. We still have lots of slots available. So we need your ideas. We need... topics, gear you want to hear us talk about, guests you want us to have on the show, whether call-in or in-person. You know, our shows are all driven by our listeners' ideas and what they email us. We get lots of ideas over the period of the months that we're looking for them, and we're looking for them now. So email us, info@trainingaz.com. Send us your show ideas. What do you want to hear us talk about? We'll pretty much talk about whatever. So, you know, just let us know what you want.
My origin story.
Mason's origin story.
So it all started with a man, and he met a woman.
Ugh.
And then?
Okay, gross. I get it. My parents had sex at least twice. All right, I get it.
Oh, man. Our Out With a Bang event coming up this weekend. We got Out With a Bang, second Independence Day Action Rifle match. Action Rifle, Out With a Bang, going to be a blast. December 31st, Christmas Eve, it's going to be in the morning.
New Year's Eve.
Range. I'm sorry, whatever.
We're going back in time.
We're going back in time.
Build a time machine. We're going back in time.
It's going to be awesome.
New Year's Eve is going to be a blast. We only have 7 slots left.
And how many slots are there total?
60 total.
Oh, Jesus.
So there's only 7 left. So if you are interested in getting in on this Action Rifle match, if you've never shot one before and you're in the area or you're within traveling distance, I highly, highly recommend coming out. We'll put you with a good group of people. We got a couple instructors shooting it. We got some really, really strong shooters who are going to be shooting them. We'll put you with a good squad. So if you've never shot it and you're like, oh, I want to shoot a match, man, this is a good one to start in.
Yeah.
It really is. Bring out your rifle. I think our max shot's going to be around 300 or so yards. And
I can't even see that far.
You bring 300 rounds, you'll probably go home with ammo. It's going to be a lot of fun. So you can email us for info on that or go to the Independence Training Facebook page. It's on there as well. But there's only 7 slots left, so you need to get signed up.
Sweet.
All right, we got some follow-up emails from last week. Our last week's show, we talked about gun show myths. I'm sorry, gun store myths.
Yeah.
And there were some
We get some pretty good stuff.
We got some follow-ups. Nobody came back and talked any trash, which was unfortunate.
Well,
a lot of people actually really liked the show and sent me messages specifically about liking the show. But there was some points that we didn't bring up that I think are valid to bring up before we get started with the rest of the show today. And that is we talked about shotguns. We talked about the birdshot thing. We talked about racking it. But we never really talked about how the shotgun is so often – I don't think we talked about this – how the shotgun is so often told as a sold as a perfect home defense gun.
We did not. We did not talk about the point-and-click interface idea, mm-hmm. which is absolutely incorrect.
So we didn't talk about the whole idea of just pointing at something, you'll blow its arm off, or just pointing at the door frame and you'll hit somebody. You know, John and I did a video – it's been a couple of years ago –
Three
years ago, and the target now hangs in our bathroom here at the office.
Kind of like that. A weird, creepy spot to hang in our bathroom, but yeah, it's in there.
And what we did was we took our very basic shotguns off the shelf, nothing special about our home defense shotguns or our defensive shotguns, whatever you want to call them, and we had 8 or 10 different types of buckshot or so, and we shot them all the way out to, I think we shot them all at 7 yards.
Yeah.
And 21 feet, which is a long distance typically in a home. Yeah. And I don't think there's a pattern that's really bigger than, I would say, the palm of a hand.
The military one was
close.
It was pretty big.
It was big. Most of the commercial stuff was a fist size or smaller.
Yeah.
And our personal choice, the federal PD. Like
50-cent piece or smaller.
At 10 yards, we actually shot that. And we were making headshots through the eyeball with double-aught 9-pellet buck. So the idea is the shotgun is a great tool because it delivers a lot of energy on target. But the pattern idea that people have or how a shotgun patterns is very, very incorrect. And it's one of the first things we debunk in our practical shotgun class to show people what patterns really do.
Mm-hmm.
And it always opens up some eyes.
Oh, my God.
So if you haven't patterned your home defense shotgun, you need to find out what it patterns at the typical distance you expect to engage.
With the ammo that you use.
And I don't think it's perfect. Like, you know, a lot of them get sold to ladies and they go, oh, here, you know, take this, honey.
Just put it in the doorway and you can't miss.
You can't miss. It'll blow them in half, blah, 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 blah. Look, it is a very devastating gun. Keep in mind, you know, pump action shotguns require two hands. Yeah, they're single-handed techniques. I know how to run a shotgun. But for the majority of people, it's two-handed gun.
Yeah, you know, the recoil is fairly amazing.
The recoil is significant. Follow-up shots are not as easy.
Nope.
You know, optics are limited and sometimes difficult.
Yep.
It's long unless you're going to get an SBS because now you're 18 and a half inches, which is even longer than your typical carbine.
Yep.
You know, so I don't think it's an ideal home defense gun.
No.
I still think the pistol, personally, I think the pistol is the ideal home defense gun.
Yeah. Well, I feel that the carbine is the ideal. The short barrel rifle.
Appropriately.
Yeah, yeah. I feel that that's probably your best bet.
Barrett 50 cal.
Yeah, why not?
Just go for that at the end of the hallway.
For when you want to kill your neighbor's dog.
That's right.
Yes.
Hiding behind their fridge.
This topic got sent in. The appendix in waistband. I know Mason and John, you guys have a lot to say about this. The appendix in waistband, I won't carry appendix because I don't want to shoot my dick off.
Do you want to shoot your ass?
Do you want to shoot yourself in the foot, the leg, the thigh? Do you want to shoot your neighbor? Like, pick a way to carry a gun, and you're pointing your gun at something you don't necessarily want to shoot. I don't care who you are, what you are, how you carry your gun.
Shoulder holster, strong side.
This
whatever.
Is where it really comes down to making sure you have good equipment and good weapons, right?
Yeah.
I carry my Glock 19 appendix carry every single day. Have I shot my dick off? Only a few times. All right, but it can be reattached, so.
Yeah, it's fine. A little bit of thread, some surgery.
Have a good holster that covers up the trigger guard.
Yep.
I don't know if we can say Mexican carry, but yeah, that's what they call it.
Yeah.
Or you just tuck it in your waistband.
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of stupid. Then you're probably going to shoot your dick off. But have a good holster that covers up the trigger guard. If your weapon has a manual safety, make sure it's engaged when you have it in there. And you won't shoot your dick off. Don't play with it.
Yeah, bam, there you go.
It's a training issue, not an equipment issue.
It's a little bit of both. There is some equipment with
good equipment.
Oh, yeah,
assuming we have good equipment, it's a training issue.
Yeah, because even if you're super high speed, if you just throw it in your waistline, it's dumb.
Yeah, poor equipment is always going to potentially, that doesn't make any sense, is going to potentially lead to problems.
Yeah.
Always.
There's actually a really good video put out with a UTM or a Sims gun. I don't remember which he was using, but he took a holster, cut the end of it off so that the gun could fire, and he intentionally shot this UTM gun in the holstering process, in the unholstering process, Not once did he shoot himself anywhere on his body, nor did it even touch his body. Mm. So,
yeah, and that's, again, that's appropriate technique. That's good training.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there is an appendix draw technique.
There is.
So if you don't know what the hell we're talking about and you carry appendix, you should go out and get some good training with it.
Yep.
And good training is not the YouTube Shooting University.
No.
And good training is not, you know, your supposed theoretical guessing. It is go out and get some good training.
Pay some good money and find a good reputable instructor.
There's plenty of great instructors out there who teach from appendix and who carry and promote appendix heavily. There's plenty of opportunities to go out and get good training on appendix carry. And I think it's I don't personally appendix carry. I do sometimes, actually, part of what we're going to talk about today. But, you know, 95% of the time I'm not appendix carrying.
No.
But I still think it's a completely valid way to carry. And it's not new either, okay?
No.
Appendix carry has been around like forever, okay? Since guns were around, appendix carry has been around. So all these tacti douches out there who think they're inventing stuff because, oh, look, I moved the pistol up to my front. What a genius I am. I'm going to make a YouTube video about how I'm so innovative in the tactical world. No, you're not. You're just whatever. It's been around forever, okay, guys? All right. here's another one that came out with. An interesting one. I'm going to read the story that this listener sent in to us. He says, I was out to dinner with some friends and the guns came into conversation. My one friend is a fairly accomplished shooter, does IDPA and some multi-gun events. That being said, I was chastised for being a Glock owner. The comments were hilarious. I.e. example, sure, own a gun that just goes off when dropped. Glock's grip angle is awkward and is basically designed for those who lack proper form and limp wrist while shooting. I kind of take offense to that. The gun is a giant pile of crap and will go off at random.
What?
Have you ever fired a gun before?
This is a listener. My response, how can a large portion of police departments and federal LE be that wrong?
Which, dude, there's operators kicking doors and shooting Hodge in the face with Glocks, and I don't know that any of them have ever just had a gun just go off.
No. It goes back to what we were talking about, that anecdotal experience somebody had.
He knew one guy who, like, filed something down inside his Glock to try and get the trigger pull better, and then when he dropped it, it went off. Yeah, no shit. Yeah. Don't
whatever
F
happened
with your
before
equipment.
It went off, before it quote-unquote went off,
it
probably
involved some
a Dremel.
Kind of stupidity.
Right? Yeah. There was a Dremel tool involved there. Yeah, so you see that kind of stuff, and that's a good example of someone who he's saying, you know, an IDPA multi-gun shooter, which, by the way, doesn't really mean a lot, right? It means they go to events. Anytime someone –
I don't understand how someone that involved in that side of the shooting community could be so anti-Glock because there are so many big-name shooters.
Because they have this anecdotal experience with things, or they're very, very one-sided on the way that they shoot. Keep in mind that not all competitive shooters are gun people.
That's true. Yeah,
right?
I know.
It's just bullet
golf
to them.
They're golfing.
Right? Golfing with guns. That's it. It's just bullet golf to them. You know, the majority of competition shooters I meet at some of the bigger matches don't even carry guns defensively.
Yeah.
You know, they have these tricked out race guns, and that's really the only guns that they have. So keep in mind that, again, this is why gun store myths are so terrible and why they're propagated so much is because the person behind the counter is supposed to have some kind of experience because I was in the military, I was a cop, I shoot competition, I carry a gun. Well, by God, if you carry a gun, you must know everything there is to know about guns because you have the physical ability to strap one on your hip. Like there's,
or
there's
put
so much
back
of that
pocket.
That gets propagated.
Now I kind of wonder what kind of gun that person does carry.
Probably
I bet you. Yep, I bet you it's a 1911.
It's probably a race tricked out 1911 or Browning High Power or something.
With
like
an exposed hammer, have fun with that.
Yeah. All right. So those were some things that got sent into us that were of particular interest. There was a few other ones, but those were particularly interesting because I wanted to. You know, those are things that we do here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we definitely hear them at gun stores. All right, Redwire gear moment. Go.
Oh Lord, I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas. That's pretty much all I got today, man. You know, New Year's coming up.
Last week of the year. Do something amazing.
Yeah. Do something cool if you haven't done something cool already. Don't sit down and make a bunch of dumbass New Year's resolutions because we all know that doesn't happen. If you're going to make a change, it has to be a very decided and pointed, trackable, attainable goal that you're going to set for yourself. And if you can't accomplish all of those tasks, then just continue to live your life the way you have. But New Year, try to make yourself a little bit better this year. Try to make yourself a little bit better the rest of this year, you know, and then carry that into the new year. Mm. So.
All right. Redwire Gear moment brought to you by redwiregear.com.
Word.
Check it out. All right. Yeah. Topic today. We kind of went a little long on our intro because we had other stuff to talk about. But it's our show, and we'll do what we want.
Well, I think we mostly are going to pretty much agree on what we're talking about today anyway.
For the most part. So our topic today is carrying guns in a vehicle and what to keep in your vehicle for emergencies. Those are kind of two separate topics.
Yes, they are.
So we're going to start with topic number one, which is carrying guns in a vehicle.
All right.
So I think that the first issue that I have when I see carrying guns in a vehicle is the way that they're kept. Now, it doesn't matter whether we're talking about a pistol or a long gun, because these days, of course, it's getting more and more popular to carry long guns. People are worried about different things going on in our country and in the world, and so they're starting to carry long guns in their truck or their vehicle. So here's the issue I have with carrying long guns or pistols, whatever, whichever one you're talking about here, is unsecured firearms.
Yes.
Now, here's why I have an issue with unsecured firearms. There is a safety factor there of the gun is unsecured and someone climbing into your vehicle has access to it. There's that problem. There's the problem of if your vehicle gets stolen, then this gun is unsecured and now it's in the hands of some douchebag who's going to go out and do bad things with it.
Right.
But more importantly, for me, because I've been in a couple of high-speed accidents in my life, it's unsecured anything in the cab is a freaking projectile.
True story.
As soon as you lose control of your vehicle, and even if you're just crashing into someone and it's a head-on collision or a T-bone collision or whatever, anything not bolted down, not secured, whatever, not strapped in or whatever, not
will not be where you left it.
Is going to go airborne, and there's nothing you can do now to block it.
Nope.
So even worse is when we flip, when we really start to scramble up the interior of the vehicle.
Yeah, buddy.
Now there's a lot of crap flying all over the place, and there is nothing you can do about it. I mean, your shit goes everywhere, all right? Take it from a guy who's been there, all right?
Well, and
enough
I've,
times to say that this is I've just anecdotal, the, unfortunately.
I've seen the aftermath of this many a time on post-blast investigations.
You bet, yeah.
You know, that's one of the big rules overseas, and I know Mason can vouch for this, and you left the wire, everything in your truck that wasn't your body was ratcheted to the floor or the wall of that truck.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I've seen stuff come from together.
Oh, yeah.
I picked up a brake drum out of the interior of the truck because one of the hatches, the emergency hatch, failed, opened up at the right time, and this giant chunk of brake drum fell into that and landed in a guy's helmet.
Really?
Yeah. Super weird, man.
Hmm.
Super weird. And their gas tank was like 150 meters away.
Yeah. So
there was a little bit of juice behind that. But still, the timing and the odds of that happening are so insane that you never know what's going to happen if you're in a car wreck.
Well, and enough force,
yeah,
speed, all those things come into play. So for me, unsecured firearms not only present a safety hazard, they also present a major, I mean, a safety hazard from someone getting access to them, but they also present a safety hazard of they're unprotected.
Dangerous
so if you take
projectile.
A pistol and you jam it between your seats or you stick it under a seat or you put it somewhere where it's not strapped down, understand, while that's a common practice, understand that that is now a projectile potentially.
Yep.
And let's say you do get in an accident and then things go sour, right?
Your car is also going to yard sale. Your shit's not going to all stay inside your car.
Oh, yeah. Stuff's going to go elsewhere.
So you
might lose stuff completely.
Yeah. Your stuff's going to fly out of your windows or through your sunroof or, depending on your wreck, through your floorboards. Like, you never know.
And so you've got that of just losing it all together. So now let's say you get in a vehicle accident where it was your fault, it wasn't your fault, whatever, but the other person's very angry, right? They might be drunk, they might be drugged out, they might just be a bad guy, and they're a bad guy who now had an accident with you, and now you're like, oh, crap, I need my gun for self-defense, and you reach for your pistol, and it's gone.
Yep.
Because it's somewhere else in the vehicle, or John said maybe outside the vehicle. So how do we stop this from happening? Look, there's tons of available options out there for gun or for vehicle-mounted holsters. Now, I'm a huge fan of keeping my gun attached to my body at all times. That being said, there are a lot of vehicle-mounted holsters under the steering column, between the seats. They make all kinds of vaults and safes to keep your gun in. When I have to leave my gun in the car for various reasons, I have a safe in my truck. Slides on the seat. There it is. It's bolted in. It's not an easy, like a snatch-and-grab thing. No one's going to take that thing, but it's secured. You know, now it's safe from unsecured people. If someone steals my vehicle and the gun happens to be in there, it's going to be very difficult for them to get it out, if maybe even impossible.
If they even know it's in there.
And, yeah, that's assuming they even look and find out it's in there because it's kind of hidden. So there's all those types of things. But as I'm driving down the road, some people, you know, the gun's not comfortable or they worry about access, which I know is part of the reason you carry appendix.
That is the primary reason that I started to carry appendix, because as a left-handed shooter, and even carrying appendix, it can be a bit awkward. But I've spent enough time working on it that I can make it effective. As a left-handed shooter carrying normal hip, there's no way I could get my gun out if I were seated in my truck, mm-hmm. driver or passenger side. It didn't matter because there's too much seatbelt, too much buckle, too much. There's just
consoles.
Too much crap in the way. So that was one of the major deciding factors in me moving to appendix carry, was just being able to access my gun while I'm in my car seated position, period, in my opinion. So,
So appendix, maybe cross draw even in a vehicle, you know?
I have often considered the cross draw just because it's easier as a right-handed shooter from the driver's seat to engage outside of the driver's window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I know a guy who did that. He did, like, executive protection in the 80s, back before they had, like, guns and shit like that. That's what he did. He cross-draw. And he's a right-handed shooter, you know, but that's what you did back in the day. Like, that was the taught and prevalent method, was to cross-draw. So that's kind of what everybody did that was in that business, you know? Like, you wear a suit coat or whatever, having your nice clothes on, and then when you got in a vehicle, your pistol would be, if you're right-handed, your left hip, and you would do all your work from there. It's kind of neat.
So it's an option.
Yeah.
Appendix. I sometimes switch to appendix. That was what I was mentioning earlier in the show. I sometimes switch to appendix when I'm going to be in a really, really long vehicle drive and I know that it's just I'm kind of uncomfortable with the way the gun's sitting or whatever. I just move it to an appendix carry, and now I've got it more accessible inside the vehicle. So, I mean, it's something to think about how we're going to carry our guns in a vehicle. And maybe if you're carrying a pistol and you're like, man, when I'm in my vehicle or when I'm sitting down or whatever, mm-hmm. The gun is uncomfortable, then maybe that's not the right gun, or maybe that's not the right holster, or maybe that's not the right carry method. You might want to consider something else. So something to think about there. As far as a long gun is concerned, there are plenty of options out there.
God.
I mean, look at every cop vehicle in America.
Yeah.
There is a way to mount a rack system to your vehicle. Now, maybe you don't want a giant rack system mounted.
There's some
to
pretty
floorboard.
Low-key racks there's that'll mount really to the cool roof.
Ones. Yeah.
There's some, if like for trucks,
underneath
they'll mount.
The rear seats.
Yep. Underneath the rear seats, behind seats. There's a couple of really cool ones that'll mount behind seats that don't look like much unless you have a gun in them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a plethora of options out there. I haven't looked at any in a while because I originally started looking because when I bought my truck, I thought I'd have a flip-up back seat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't.
No.
So I just kind of moved on with that.
There's plenty of options is really the point. And if you have an unsecured gun in your vehicle, understand you're assuming all liability for what happens with it. So keep it secure to keep it out of unsecured hands or unauthorized hands, and keep it secure so it doesn't end up as a projectile knocking you all over the place while you're already having a really bad day.
Yeah, bud.
So that's kind of that's my point on carrying guns in a vehicle.
So have a load plan.
Yeah, there you go. Have a load plan. Plan your loads.
All right, John. So I know you've got a couple other points there you want to talk about.
No, I think we covered them.
Well, like put it underneath your leg. Like,
oh,
I know people
do
that.
So I used to be guilty of some of these things before I got super involved. Yeah, if you're not comfortable with how you carry your gun in your car, find a better option. As we already said, there are a ton of vehicle mounted like handgun holsters now that will hang on your front seat, on the front side of your front seat, like right between your legs. There's a couple that'll bolt in to your center console, so they'll bolt in on the side, so they're super low profile. You can get some that are Velcro backed. I've seen those. I don't really know that much about them. Depending on the Velcro, you know, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. But don't stuff it in your seats. Don't stick it under your leg. Don't just lay it in your center console. Center consoles in general. So most vehicles have some type of center console with a little plastic latchy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that doesn't count as being secure in a car accident. Because I've, like, but all of the ones in my vehicles, because I don't drive anything new, are in some various state of disrepair and may or may not stay closed under any type of force.
Right.
So your center consoles don't count. If you're looking for options, for like good options, look at the four-wheel drive industry, because there's a lot of stuff out there in that side of the automotive industry for these types of things. Mm-hmm. There's a company that makes lock boxes for Jeeps, or they started specifically for Jeeps, and I cannot remember the name of the company, but they make all these different center console like lock boxes and stuff that you can mount radios in them, you can put guns in them. Like there's just a plethora of options out there for those. Just basically keep your guns either on your body or somehow securely tied down, you know, locked down. Your glove box doesn't count either. Was it Truck Vault?
Truck Vault.
Truck Vault has some really good stuff for like the backs of your, like the back of your SUVs.
They've got awesome options, man.
Yeah, you can get some stuff that'll lock on the inside of your trunk. Like you can get full truck bed kits. They've got a couple. I think they have a shotgun mounting system that'll go in the trunk of a car on the lid, so that when you flip the trunk up, grab it and pull it down, pull it out.
They've got some ones that would work for your house. It would also work for your vehicle. I mean, basically, you can mount them inside a center console.
Yeah.
So you can unlock the center console, open up the center console, and then there are, then you actually have a built-in safe there that you would put in your combo, nice. And boom, the thing would open up. So they've got, at least if they don't have the solution that you're looking for, they at least have a place for you to start.
Yeah.
But yeah, check out the Truck Vault, and it's just truckvault.com. It's really easy to go check out, but that's a good place for you to at least get started on headed in the right direction about securing a gun in a vehicle.
Yeah, there you go.
It is probably my biggest pet peeve when we talk to new gun people.
When I first started working for you, I would do that. When I got in my truck, I would just take it and set it in my center console. And every time I did that, if we were riding together, you cringed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? And you're like, dude, that's dumb. And I'm like, man, it'll be all right.
Didn't take me long to change you.
No, it didn't.
And then you also have to think about things, again, from an access point. So now that we've talked about like safety and security and all that, now let's look at it from, oh, my gosh, I need my gun, right? The whole reason I carry this thing is to protect myself and the people I love, and now I need it, and now it is where? Okay, I set it in the
it's a good
console
idea.
Or the
it's a
cup
good question.
Holder. I stuffed it between the seat, and as I was driving and shifting, it fell deeper between the seat, or it shifted in the console.
I've actually had that happen.
I'm
a couple
reaching
of times.
For it, and I can't find it, or it slipped down, and I can't find
it. I laid it under the front seat, but now it slid all the way into the back seat floorboards.
Yeah, exactly. Like now I don't have access to this thing. And the whole reason I carry the thing in the first place is to freaking shoot people with it. And then the opportunity shows up to where I need to defend myself by shooting someone. And where's my gun?
Hold on, bad guy. Stop. Time out from the fight. Time out. Let me find my gun so we can handle this appropriately.
So when you think about carbines and long guns and things like that inside of a vehicle, understand that there aren't really a lot of quick access options that are not a rack in the cab of your vehicle.
Yeah, exactly.
Roof mounted, side mounted, something like that. Anything in a trunk, anything in the bed, anything in the back seat, you need a pistol.
Yep.
You know, to handle whatever situation you need to, if you think you need
to. I think the only thing I've seen that would come close to quick access is like the roof mounted ones. I think you can set most of those up for where you can grab them and give them a good pull and they'll come out.
They are, but what I don't like about the roof mounted is kind of like the old, you know, growing up in Hicktown like I did.
Oh, yeah. The shotgun in
you
the
had
back window.
Shotguns in the back windows. Now, I don't know if it's just a different world or whatever, but no one really seemed to care. Now, I don't want people to know that I have guns in my vehicle. I mean, back then, it was kind of nice to know if someone had a gun in their vehicle in case you needed to shoot a coyote or something like that. But nowadays, you know, it's not something I really want people to know if I have a gun in my car.
True story.
I don't want to become a target for whatever. So. Yeah, well,
yeah,
absolutely, yeah. So, all right. Mason, anything to add on guns and cars, man?
Not really.
All right. You to die over there, bro?
Jesus.
This is not looking too good.
Whoa.
All right, you got
it's going downhill.
You got the pig flu over there or something.
Ooh. I think it's the monkey flu this year. The bovine monkey flu.
So we're going to kind of shift gears. I think that kind of covers carrying guns in vehicles. I mean, we're big fans of carrying them on your body is really the gist of that.
Find a comfortable way to carry it on your body or a secure way to carry it not on your body.
So what do you keep in your vehicle for emergencies?
I keep all kinds of neat stuff.
You bet.
I have, so in each of my vehicles, I have a box. It's either in the trunk in my cars or there's one in the bed of my truck, and the one in the bed of my truck's closed. Mm-hmm. But in there, I have, I'm going to blow some people's minds here, set of jumper cables, a four-way lug wrench. For God's sakes, go buy a four-way lug wrench, please, everyone. I have some extra tie-down straps in my truck. I have a quart of oil. I have a gallon of antifreeze. I have a tool kit that includes things to, like, change a battery or do some minor repairs on my truck on the side of the road.
Right.
Something that I will be adding soon is a couple of bottle jacks. Because the car scissor jacks factory always suck.
Car jacks suck. Yeah.
Which is why I have four-way lug wrenches, because factory lug wrenches suck.
Yeah, standard tire.
And they're a pain in the ass to get to. And then depending on what I'm doing, where I'm going, I always have my backpack on me. So I always have some type of snack, some type of extra food. Generally carry a coat in the wintertime. Even here in Phoenix, I generally carry a coat or an extra long sleeve.
Cold, dude. It was 40 degrees this morning.
It was 34 at my house.
Look, I know that's not as cold as some of you are living right now, but that's cold enough to where if you get in trouble.
It's cold for us.
And if you get in trouble,
yeah,
you know, you crash.
It doesn't take long.
Yeah, I mean, that's close to dying weather.
Yeah, buddy.
You know?
And then generally, I always have extra water. I think it pretty much covers everything I carry for emergency purposes.
I think, you know, repair tools, extra things. Look, you got to check your spare tire. You got to carry better tools. Like you said, I carry a four lug star wrench. I carry, a upgraded jack. I carry extra fluids that are necessary. I carry, basic repair tools. I carry things like rescue tape and stuff like that help me to repair hydraulic hoses or high-pressure hoses. I don't have any hydraulic hoses, but high-pressure hoses. That stuff is fantastic, right? So repair tools are generally a good idea. A socket set, you know, a couple crescent wrenches.
Some screwdrivers and a pair of needle-nose pliers.
Screwdriver set, some pliers.
Need needle-nose pliers, dude. Every time I've had to do something under a car.
Good, strong needle-nose.
Yeah, not from the dollar store.
Don't go cheap on the needle-nose.
No, no.
Never. You will be prying with needle-nose, so don't go cheap on them.
Yep.
So it's one of those things where I think that repair tools are kind of we take it as kind of a given. Like, well, duh, of course you carry repair tools. Most people don't.
No.
But you should.
Well, it's a cultural thing these days, because I was listening to the radio the other day, and they were talking about this insurance agency. And it was like, I moved an entire tow truck with just the tip of my finger. Like, why did you move a tow truck with the tip of your finger? Oh, well, I had a flat tire, and I called so-and-so, and they came and picked me up.
Yeah.
Learn how to change your own damn
tire.
Thank you. Please, for God's sakes, learn how to change your tire. You should not have to call someone to change your fucking tire. Sorry, there's one for you. I had to get that one out.
I could see it was brimming. It was boiling over, John. No, you need to know how to do basic repairs on your vehicle. And that's part of what to carry for emergencies. That's part of it. One of my things that make me want to hit people, and this includes women, okay, is when I say, hey, what do you carry? And you go, oh, I just have AAA. Or, right. Oh, I just haven't. That's not always available. They're too far out. It's going to take them too long. It's going to screw up.
You're
going to
freeze to death by the time they get there.
Or you don't have cell phone service.
Ooh,
or you're outside of your coverage area, which happens. You know, so all those things are problems.
That's why you get the upgraded AAA.
You need that upgrade. That upgrade, though. So I think repair tools or something, you know, general supplies for fixing your vehicle are all a good idea. Here's some things I think a lot of people don't think about. That I carry.
All right.
Signaling tools. So I carry.
I could improvise something.
I am a signaling freak when it comes to carrying stuff to signal people. I carry multiple ways because I do not like to not be able to get the message across. You know?
Okay.
So I carry in my truck a 3-pack of road flares, which don't last very long. I carry
not the commercial brand ones, but if you've got a cop buddy that you can get some from, those things are amazing.
Still are not that bright is the issue. You know what I mean? They're bright, but they're not super bright, right? So and they're hard to handheld. They're hard as a handheld tool and stuff.
Well,
like that.
Well, yeah, because they're
designed to be road flares, right?
Yeah, they're burning and they're hot.
I may need a handheld tool, right? So, but I do carry still some super bright, you know, whatever they are, the ADOT type ones that the cops have. I've got like 3-pack of those. I carry chem lights,
you
know, glow sticks in multiple colors. Those are good for all kinds of things. You put that sucker on a piece of paracord and you get yourself a heck of a
Yeah, buddy.
A heck of a signal.
If your kids get bored, you can give them a glow stick.
Yeah, have a glow stick, kid.
I have never seen a kid not get excited about getting a glow stick.
I also carry an actual flare gun with a six-pack of flares.
All right.
Because it's great for signaling I am over here. And especially okay. if I'm having to deal with aerial, like I'm trapped somewhere in a vehicle and I got aerial flyovers happening and I need to signal them, I can ground flare all I want. And if they can't see me, they can't see me.
True.
Right? So I like aerial flares because
but
they're
good
for signaling.
But that buzzsaw, though.
That buzzsaw is fantastic. I also carry a full VS-17 panel.
All right.
You know, big military grade VS-17 panel. Yeah. That way I can throw it on my vehicle and I'm dealing with a bright orange or bright pink signal. Bright orange is the most easily seen color in all environments, right?
Mm-hmm.
All natural environments. So now I've got this nice big giant orange panel that I can put out on my vehicle if I need some help, if I need to attract somebody or I need to deter, you know, people from hitting me on the side of the road or whatever, I can use those. The little reflector thing, I don't even carry those deals. The little things like you see truckers put out, hey, don't hit me, I'm on the side
triangles?
Of the road. I don't even carry those things. I don't think they're particularly useful for what I need to signal for.
I thought, don't you have a set of the, they're like little strobes? Didn't you have a set of those for a while? The little round strobes, they're like a 3-pack or a 4-pack?
Oh, yeah, I've got those.
Yeah, those are kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty bright.
Yeah.
And can't you change, don't they do like the white, red, and something else, right?
White and red, yeah, they just do white flasher. Constant on white, constant on red, and white flasher, red flasher.
Okay.
So I like things like that that are going to get people's attention. Why? Here's a perfect example, right? Just my dad was telling me the story about some people. I'm going to get some of the details wrong. It doesn't matter because the point is the same. Family gets lost in southern Utah, northern Arizona, somewhere in that area, and they plow their car off into freaking la-la land in the snow. They don't know what the hell to do. They don't carry any extra stuff.
Right.
So they all set off like on foot. You know, they separate, of course.
Well, yeah.
Why wouldn't you? And then they go off. Well, now searchers have to find people, which is freaking hard in the wilderness to find a single person. Way easier to find a vehicle. But vehicles in the snow. So you plow your vehicle in the snow and you think, well, how hard can it be? I drive a whatever, bright pink, whatever. That's great. Until it gets snowed over? Until it gets covered with snow. Or your guy going over the top, he's doing freaking 70 knots or whatever, you know, doing a big giant grid pattern. He's got to cover so many miles today.
Yep.
You got people on the ground who are looking at stuff and your vehicle's behind brush or behind whatever. I mean, here's an interesting fact. Here's something to think about. A little personal story, part of a personal story. I wrecked a vehicle many years ago that went off the road right next to one of the major freeways in the state of Arizona.
Yeah.
Right next to it.
Yeah.
But I went over an embankment and landed in like a marshy area.
Mm-hmm.
And my truck was hidden. It was completely hidden. Nobody even knew where I was. They're driving up and down the freeway looking for me, looking for a crashed vehicle or something like that, and could not see it. They drove by it 100 times. It was right next to the freeway.
Yep.
Even now, it was dark.
100 times?
It was dark at the – oh, at least. I mean, that's not an exaggeration. But it's like there was a it was dark at the time, but if it would have been daylight, they probably still wouldn't have seen it because of where it was. And so my point is, like, when it comes to signaling, I want people to be able to find me. In that case, now I had left the vehicle at that time, but if I had been trapped inside that vehicle or trapped around the vehicle and was needing help, popping a couple aerials – throwing out some road flares, putting a strobing light on top of my roof, they would have found me freaking right now.
Yeah, buddy.
They would have found me the first pass, you know, just by having some good signaling equipment in your vehicle. Instead, they couldn't find it, you know. So that's my point. Is like, and that's anecdotal, right? It's a singular experience in that case, but it's an experience.
Well, it's really not that anecdotal because I remember growing up as a kid, my dad was a firefighter. And we would go out. I would go out on a lot of calls with him, and there were several times they'd drive by a car accident two or three times before they could find it. So, yeah, it happens because depending on how your roads are built, depending on which part of the state you're in,
you plow
like
into
you
a
drop
snowbank,
off those embankments.
Yeah, Yeah, you drop off one of these crazy embankments, you know, like we've got here on the freeways where it's a big old hill, and you go through a cat or through the road guard. Someone's likely to be able to tell you when through the road guard. But if you go into the one of those locations where there are no road guards, and there's plenty of those, you fly off into one of those gullies, man, no one might be able to find you. And assuming you're still alive when you get down there, but maybe you're trapped in the vehicle or you're trapped around the vehicle and you need some help, you throw a big old VS-17 panel out and you start cracking off aerial flares at, you know, people. You bust out your signaling mirror if it's daytime and you can actually utilize it and the sun's out and all that kind of stuff. I don't really love to depend on mirrors and reflector thingies because they're circumstantial. I like things that are non-circumstantial.
Right.
Flares, VS-17s, all those things work
flashlight.
In the daylight. Flashlights, strobes, they work in the daylight just as much as they work in the darkness, you know?
Yep.
So like things like that, to me, that's a huge overlooked emergency prep in vehicles when it comes to – and then when it comes to vehicle prep. And then you look at, like, I just break down on the side of the road and, you know, I don't want to get hit.
Yeah, because that never happens.
Right?
I've never had a cop get run over by
by
another driver because they weren't paying attention.
Yeah, and today with everyone's distracted drivers, man, it's like my car gets a flat or it just stops running for whatever reason and I've got to pull over on the side of the
road. Red moon rising.
And I've just got to pull over on the side of the road. Like, I got to have some kind of signal.
So I actually read an article. And they were talking about the best ways to do that. Mm. And it's something that a lot of people didn't know. And when I read this article, I was like, oh, well, God, that makes a lot of sense. So you get as far off of the road as you can, right? That's step one, obviously. But if you can't get very far off the road, get behind a guardrail. That was one of the big things for me. I was like, oh, well, duh.
Makes sense.
I never really thought about that.
Sure.
So, but and that all depends on, and if you can't get your vehicle there, you get your family out of your vehicle and you put them behind that guardrail. Because guess what guardrails are supposed to do? Stop
deflect
cars
vehicles,
and deflect things. So that's something to think about too, is just like, what are you going to do in your vehicle if you're in this type of emergency? Like, how do I safely get out of my vehicle? How far can I park my vehicle off the road? Where should I put my family if I have to change a tire on the side of the road, because I don't necessarily want to leave my wife and kids in my car if I'm going to be there for an extended period of time trying to unload the trunk and get the spare tire out of the trunk and put all
and
the
everybody's
crap
there. So when we get smashed into, we're stationary and someone smashes into us doing 80 miles an
hour.
That's going to ruin our day big time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Maybe kill people inside.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I mean, now what if it's raining?
Raincoat and a poncho, bro.
Dude.
I'd rather my family be wet and cold than dead and smushed.
Do you have those kinds of things in your vehicle, right? That's another
I have big trash
consideration.
Bags. I don't always carry raincoats, but
I
have trash bags.
I carry in my truck, and it's easy to hide this kind of stuff. I mean, you climb in my truck, it's not just piled full of stuff.
Well,
you know, one seat in the back seat is kind of not usable because I've got that rack system on the back of my passenger seat, but everything else in the truck is usable. Most of it's underneath a seat or in a tool bag or whatever, and so it's fine. But when you think about where to put the stuff, like I carry a tarp. A tarp is flat, and I can carry a 12 by 12 tarp. It's a nice bright blue tarp. I would get an orange one if I could find one handily, but you know, I've got a 12 by 12 tarp. So now if it's raining or I need to pull all that, like you said, I'm on family vacation or whatever, and we've got all this crap in the vehicle and it's pouring down rain, but I gotta get to the spare tire.
Yep.
Where am I gonna put all this crap? Well, if I've got a tarp, I can build a quick little lean-to. I'll stretch it off the guardrail or even just set it on the ground, put everything on top of it and pull the tarp over the top. That's fine. But do something to be able to protect all that equipment. Or if I do have to pull my family out and put them on the other side of the guardrail or have them step off the road a little bit, now they can huddle underneath the tarp. I've got a couple rain ponchos. We've got garbage bags. Like, there's umbrellas. I mean, they have so many collapsible umbrellas now. They're so tiny. If you live in a place where, you know, it rains or snows, you should have a couple of umbrellas in your vehicle. It's not that hard to carry them around. They're so small. You can get three or four of them in a relatively small space, and that should be enough for most people to cover their entire family with just a few handheld umbrellas.
Yeah.
You know, or be able to secure some equipment so it doesn't get soaking wet as you have to pull it out to get access to your other stuff. So weather stuff. And what do you carry in your vehicle that's weather dependent?
It depends on that time of the year that it is.
So what you're saying, John, is you actually have to check your stuff periodically?
Yeah.
And update your equipment.
Something else that people should carry that I carry in every vehicle that I own, have my entire adult life since I started driving a car, it's a freaking fire extinguisher.
Fire extinguishers.
That is easily accessible.
Yeah. Yeah. Stacked underneath a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. It's not stacked up under a bunch of crap. It's not rolled down in the bottom of a toolbox somewhere. Like, the one in my truck is in the box in the bed of my truck.
And look at those ones that our buddies over AR 500 Armor sells. Is it Cold Fire?
Yeah, the Cold Fire kits.
Those things are incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, I've used them on a couple of fires at the range, just nothing emergency, but just, you know, a car caught on fire or whatever. We were shooting it. We needed to put it out. Those things are amazing.
Yeah.
Those little cans of Cold Fire, and they're like $20, $25. They're not cost prohibitive. They're amazing and easy to store in your truck. I think more so than like a traditional fire.
I use the Kitty brand. I think it's Kitty, K-I-D-D-I-E brand, marine ones. Huh?
It's K-I-D-D-E.
Okay, whatever.
I think it might. I don't know how to say it either. I think it might be Kitty or Kitty.
So, anywho, I use the marine ones, like the ones that were designed for boats and stuff, just because they're generally a little bit smaller, a little bit lighter, a little bit easier to store.
So, yeah, you got to think about those kind of emergencies as well. And
so, one that I had, I don't know if you guys said it or not, but was fluids.
Yeah.
Like for your vehicle.
Yeah.
I always keep a quart of oil and a like a big gallon thing of a mixture of coolant and water to put in my truck.
Yeah, your antifreeze mix.
Yeah.
Hey, because you don't know what's going to happen. It's like, great, you can have all the tools to fix something. I'm a huge fan of that rescue tape stuff. That's awesome for fixing hoses.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I blow a radiator hose or something in the, you know, south deserts of California where there's like nothing going on because I'm on some family
between
road trip.
29 Palms and what is it?
Quartz Anywhere.
Site? Yeah. Blythe.
Yeah. And I go to, you know, I go to repair my hose and that's great, but now I don't have any fluid to put back in it.
Yep.
So yeah, keeping fluids.
And if you have the time and opportunity and the ability to do so, radiator hoses are not particularly expensive and they go out fairly regularly. You know,
serpentine belts, radiator hoses.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea to possibly have some of those things if you're mechanically inclined enough to be able to do it. And if you're not, it's really not all that complicated. Remove hose from part B, remove hose from part C, put hose back on part B and C, clamp tightly.
The problem is with some of the new vehicles, it's not easy to get access to that stuff.
No, it's not.
And you may need special tools like those special clamp pliers.
Well, that's why you carry good old-fashioned hose clamps. Yeah. You cut the crappy ones off. And you put good old-fashioned screw-down hose clamps back on.
Hose clamps on that stuff. So as we're talking about fluids here, of course, water.
Yeah.
Water's a necessity. I think every vehicle should definitely have a minimum of 2 gallons of water in it. Minimum. And it should be rotated regularly. And that's a minimum 2 gallons of water. That's
I'm going to die.
A little bit of water
for pretty
me.
Much.
And a little bit of water for a vehicle. Look, a good sturdy bottle of water is $1, $1.50 at the local store.
The Arrowhead gallon jugs are super durable.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 98 cents at Walmart.
Cylindrical, easy to stack, easy to store.
Cylindrical?
You just made that up.
No, the wrong emphasis.
Cylindrical.
The wrong syllable.
Cylindrical?
Cylindrical.
What did I say?
Cylindrical?
Cylindrical.
Yeah.
You said something.
It's a cylinder.
There you go.
Circular.
All right.
I literally don't have enough room for 2 gallons of water in my truck.
You do, though. Think about it.
Buy a bigger truck. You have like a 6.5 foot long
bed.
Well,
yeah. I mean, I could put them in the bed, but I mean like secured and hidden places.
Well, how about two camelbacks, 200-ounce camelbacks?
You can get those behind the seat of
you throw those behind
I have a lot of shit behind my seat already.
I know you do, but a 200-ounce camelbacks will fit.
I think right now I probably have like 5 water bottles in my truck, and that's about it.
That's good. You'll be fine.
You've got a 6-foot-long bed. I mean, for you, I would put like one of those Fender-style toolboxes or even just a flat toolbox going across the back. You've got a long enough bed you don't typically, that I've seen, fill it up with stuff.
No.
Throw a cheap, you know.
I don't know. When I'm not hanging out with you, I just have a bunch of shit in the back of my truck.
Always throw stuff in the 6-foot-long bed.
Yeah, like a bed or something. Who knows?
It's a mattress. It's a 6-foot bed that never has to be made, bro.
Roll around. So last thing I want to talk about, because we're running out of time here, is, and this was a question from a listener, is how or where do we stage our medical gear and tourniquets to get to it quickly? And this is something we talk about.
That's a really good question,
actually. We talk a lot about this kind of stuff on the show, right? Medical equipment. Yeah. Certainly it's something we do over at Independence. We do tons of training with medical. So people take their kits and they put them in their freaking trunk.
That's dumb.
Which blows my mind, right? Or they take the kit and they put it underneath the back seat or whatever. It's like, dude, if I'm hanging upside down on the side of the road because my truck is on its lid, like, how am I supposed to get access to my supplies?
Plus, all of the shit that was in the bed of my truck has now yard sailed all over the freeway.
Yeah, and again, anything that's not strapped down inside the vehicle is
not where you thought it was going to be.
Wherever it is.
So what I would suggest.
Go for it.
I carry my primary medical supplies on my person. At all times, right? Using the Riker ankle kit.
Ankle first aid kit,
yeah.
The AFAC.
The AFAC.
Which I'm also using, is a great product.
But obviously, I know that may not be enough for some situations, so I have an auxiliary medical kit that is more like your traditional military-issued kind of IFAC thing that is in behind my seat in my truck. So all I got to do is pop that open, or even without popping it open, I could, like, reach back there and access be able to it. Grab its big red handle on it and everything, so it's super easy to identify. But you should always, same thing with a gun, right? Have what, if it's not on you, you're probably not going to have it.
Mm. Yep.
I mean, that's something we kind of always assume in the survival world. And when I say survival, I mean urban survival, the wilderness survival, the self-defense, to medical emergency, to whatever. Survival is a thing we do every single day.
If it's not attached to your body, you pretty much don't have it.
If it's not attached to your body, assume you're not going to have it. If you do have it, neato, use it, right? But if it's not attached to your body, don't assume whenever the emergency has completed its initial cycle and you are now in emergency response mode. If it's not attached to your body, assume you're not going to have access to it.
Yep.
So where I keep my medical kit, and I have a quad cab truck, so I've got the space for it.
Yeah, you do.
I know not everyone's going to have this. Like Mason was talking about, single cab truck might be a little more difficult, but there are ways, as Mason said, yeah, carry it on your body, keep it behind the vehicle, strap it to the seat next to you. There will be a space for it. You can take
duct
a small—
duct tape it to the wheel well.
What's duct tape it inside the wheel, right next to the giant 3 pounds of cocaine you keep there. Mm-hmm. So I—
wait, you have coke?
Oh, sorry, Mason. I mean,
pure Colombian.
Nice.
So when you look at an extended cab vehicle or something where you've got some space, I keep mine on the back seat of the passenger side. So yeah, that from the driver's side, I can reach over and grab it. So whether I'm responding to an emergency, it's easy access, or whether I am, you know, trying to save myself, it's easy access. So to me, that's a perfect location for it. And also, it's bright red, by the way.
Right.
It is not tactical. I don't need a tan, green, black, multicam, ATAX, Kryptek.
Stop.
ACU.
Stop.
Whatever.
Red or orange.
It's bright, so that if I have to tell somebody, hey, go get the red kit out of my truck, it's hanging on the back seat. When they look at my rack system on my back seat,
there's one red thing there.
There is some stuff on there that's tactical or whatever because it was just a cheap pouch. But now, there's that red pouch I was talking about.
There's one thing that's bright red.
Very obvious.
Which coincidentally, the Redwire Gear Mark 82 is now available in red.
In bright red, which is awesome looking, by the way.
Just thought I'd throw that out there for you guys.
Dud came up with that idea.
I know. Dude's a total turd, too. So, like, in my cars, in my wife's car specifically, we have a giant, because she was an EMT for several years, we have this giant response bag in the trunk, which I want to get rid of anyway because it takes up too much room. But on the back of pretty much every vehicle that I own, on the back of the seat, there's a pocket on either side. So, like, in my car, I keep one in the pocket of the passenger side. In my truck, there's one in the pocket on the passenger side, back seat. And then in her car, same way. And then there's other stuff in other places. Like I bought that AFAC for my wife. It's in her – so on her door, there's a cup holder. And if you pack that AFAC appropriately, when you – try to compress it down, it doesn't stay very compressed, so you can shove it and it'll actually wedge in there and it'll fill up that whole pocket, and it's surrounded by the lip of the
plastic.
It's not going anywhere. I don't care what you do to that car. Basically, you'd have to rip that door off to get that thing out of there in an accident, but to get a hold of it, it's really easy. You reach down, you grab it, you squeeze it, and you pull it out. So
yeah, back when I used to do cool things, we always had the super high speed North American Rescue giant fanny pack medical kit. We always had those on our headrests.
Yep.
The front headrests, they were secured with the big old straps that they have on and the buckles. So if you needed to get to it, you just
clip,
reach behind you and unclip it. And you got this thing that's like, you could take care of like four people with all the crap that's inside this thing.
The only thing to keep in mind with those kind of kits now, as regular people, depending on what your appropriate use of the medical kit is, so much of that stuff still comes in coyote tan, multicam, whatever.
Right.
So make sure, especially as a normal person or you're trying to get ready response, that it is bright colored. I am such a huge fan of bright colored first aid kits. You know, it's got to be colored so that.
But Glenn, then everyone can see them.
I know.
Oh, wait.
You're going to give away my position.
Oh, wait. We've already killed everyone that's trying to kill us. Don't worry about that. Move on to the
false
other thing. All right, so last thing I want to mention here that we skipped before, but I definitely want to mention is rescue tools. So in my truck, I keep a couple of different rescue tools, and I scatter them throughout the vehicle on purpose so that if I lose one or one goes airborne in the rollover, I can use it. And I've used my rescue tools more in roadside assistance for helping people who've been in accidents more than anything else I use. And it's to cut seatbelts or break windows.
Yep.
And we did an independence training video with those rescue tools. It's been a while ago, at least 3 years ago. But if you go on the independence training YouTube channel, you'll find the video way, way back, like towards the very, very beginning. And we actually demo several rescue tools, breaking out of windows, cutting seatbelt straps. We have several vehicles that we destroy, you know, getting out
Brett
of windows.
Brett and that super awesome motorcycle jacket.
And our super awesome leather, Brett's leather freaking motorcycle jacket. So we didn't cut the hell out of ourselves. Rescue tools are something to consider. I carry three in my vehicle. I have the Rescue Me, which is one of the coolest tools maybe ever made and clips onto the outside of my first aid kit. It's great for keychains. Keychain. It's great for anything like that. I keep them all over. They're great, great tools. They're like $10 at Ace Hardware or whatever. It's totally worth it. The Rescue, it's literally R-E-S-Q-M-E. Great tool because it's got a spring loaded carbide glass breaker and a exposable strap cutter. So it's great for those tools. I also keep the Benchmade Houdini Pro in a different part of my vehicle, and then I keep the Columbia River Knife and Tool Escape Tool in a different part of my vehicle.
Is that the one that clips on?
It clips on to seat belts, but man, it doesn't stay.
It's really
not a good design, so I keep it in the console. It's designed to clip onto a seatbelt, and in a perfect world, it would work.
Yeah.
But the way that they built the clip, it pops off all the time. So
nice. That's super.
Yeah, so I don't use it there. I do keep the tool because it's a good tool. I just keep it in my console. I keep the Benchmade over in the glove box, and I've got the Rescue Me tool on my med kit. That way, if I need to get out of a vehicle,
I keep a Benchmade strap cutter on every sun visor.
Yeah.
Driver's side sun visor, and every one of my vehicles has a Benchmade strap.
Dude, I got to be able to get out of that seatbelt when it locks in place, man. And a pocket knife sucks trying to get out of a strap.
You may or may not succeed, and you may or may not stab yourself trying to succeed.
Under stress, under duress. Yeah, it's a maybe not the best option. So something to think about there. If you carry guns for a living, and I mean you are a cop, military, whatever, one last thing I'll say, just like rescue tools to stage them everywhere, you should stage mags for all your primary weapons around your vehicle.
Yeah, buddy.
For emergencies, I have magazines staged in a couple different parts of my vehicle. They're very low-key. No one would know where they were if they didn't know where they were. And I stage a couple of magazines for my primary weapon, which is my handgun, around my truck. So that if I'm working in or around my truck and I happen to be low on ammunition, I drop my primary magazine, whatever bullcrap happens and I need a mag, I can get access to one.
Yep. See, I have mine set up more like Mr. and Mrs. Smith, where I press a button on my center console and these panels fold open.
Yeah.
And there's just this arsenal of all kinds of different weapons and stuff. And then you woke up. You know?
And then your fever broke and your dreams stopped.
Yeah, and then you stopped hallucinating. So if you have a gun, you know, and you carry it for self-defense, or definitely if you carry it for a living, you should be staging magazines around your vehicle in every car door and every available location.
Yeah.
You never know what part of the vehicle you're going to be able to access.
Now, also make sure they stay secure because those hurt a lot.
Those will also turn into projectiles.
They hurt a lot when they hit you in the head.
Yes.
They contain projectiles and can, in fact, be used as projectiles.
Yes.
Valid.
Dun-dun. All right. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. You can contact us for hosting information, info@trainingaz.com. Make sure you follow us on Instagram and Facebook under Independence Training, The Arms Room, and Red Wire Gear. And make sure you check out our YouTube channels as well. Lots of good videos on there. We've mentioned several from the Independence Training channel. There's even more useful stuff. In fact, I think the most recent video we posted was actually of Mason using a Red Wire Gear sling.
Yeah, probably.
So make sure
be sure
you
to follow
out.
Us on social media, not in real life, because that's a little creepy.
But if you want to follow us in real life, it's not going to be that exciting.
Email me
prepared.
And I'll give you Mason's home address. He needs some excitement in his life.
Yeah.
All right. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Make sure you check out some of their other shows. You are coming to you from the official Wilderness Tactical Studio. It has been an awesome year.
It has been a great year.
Woo.
Thank you so much to everybody who's listened to our show. Our show has grown even more this year than it did in 2015. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for writing to us and sending us your requests.
And sending us socks.
Thank you for sending us socks. Thank
nudes.
You for sending us candies.
Send what? Nudes.
I send nudes to John at john@redwiregear.com. All right. Thank you for all your support and everything you have done for us in 2016. We look forward to talking to you again in the beginning of 2017 after this beautiful new year.
Word.
2017 is going to be awesome for us. Have a safe and happy New Year's.
Word.
Have a lot of fun. Enjoy yourself. But remember, drink responsibly. Don't drink and drive, or that makes you an asshole. Next week, next year, first show, we're going to be talking about New Year's resolution shows. Kind of goes in line with today, because here's what we're talking about. Build a damn medical kit already.
All right.
We're gonna be talking about what we carry and how we carry it and what we put specifically in our kits based on our real-world experience. Until next time, until next year, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.